Hi guys, welcome to the pub with the Bitter End podcast. My name is Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
And this is a very, very special bonus episode of the podcast. This is not season four. We're on our break. We've finished season three. We're super stoked about watching Universal Soldier for you guys and hope that you will join us with that if you're that way inclined. But right now, we are sitting in the sun, we are in the pub, and we are joined by our good buddy, Noel Pearce.
Hello.
How are you doing, Noel? You're good.
Yeah, this is quite nice to be here.
It's not too bad, but why have we brought you guys to the pub with us and our buddy Noel? Tom, what's going on?
Well, as you can hear, it's a lovely sunny day in Brighton with seagulls screaming blood and death above us. And so on a lovely sunny day, we are going to go and sit in a dark room and watch a film. This is what me and Todd do when we're not doing the podcast. We go and hang out together and watch films in dark rooms. It's a bit weird. Why do we keep on doing that? But we're doing this with our good buddy Noel. We're having a special game movie night.
A video game movie night. Noel, you pumped?
I'm so pumped. You actually have no idea. It may not fully come across, but I'm super excited.
Honestly, guys, that is about as pumped as Noel ever sounds. He's a real mile-a-minute guy. Tom, what movie are we watching?
The movie that we're going to watch, we're going to be watching Double Dragon, 1994's Double Dragon, based on the popular game franchise. So this is a different take on what we do in The Bitter End, where we take a movie franchise and we watch all of that, and then we'll address that there are other elements to that franchise. Double Dragon is the movie side note in a popular video game franchise, which has also spawned, there was like two seasons of a cartoon, like Saturday morning cartoon. There was six issues of a comic by Marvel Comics. There were toys.
How many games were there?
Oh, shit tons, bro. So this one came out in 1994. There were 6 games came out before this film came out.
Like, holy shit.
First, before the film.
Yeah. So the first Double Dragon came out in 87. Following year, Double Dragon 2, The Revenge. 1990, Double Dragon 3, The Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Stone!
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was, they had to go and fight a learn-from-home language school. Then Super Double Dragon came out on the Super Nintendo in 92. The Battletoads and Double Dragon crossover came out in 93. And then Double Dragon 5 came out in 94, the same year that this movie came out.
Sweet baby Jesus. Okay.
Now, do either of you guys, like, really know much about Double Dragon, game?
I'm going to be honest, until we really talked about doing this, I'd never even really heard of the game.
Wow, okay.
Like, at all?
I think I've played it once, but I have no memory of it.
See, like, for me, like, this game was, like, a big, that was a big one in my childhood in the 80s, seeing that cabinet in the arcade and, like, just, do you guys know what the story is of the game?
There's no way this game has a story.
There is a intro scene at the beginning of Double Dragon where your two main characters are Billy and Jimmy Lee, and you've got one of their girlfriends called Marion, I think. She's just stood on a street corner, and a bunch of tough guys just walk up to her, punch her in the gut, throw her over the shoulder, and they fuck off. And you've just got to go and fight through all these thugs to go and get her back.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. You know what's even more horrible? Do you know what the intro to Double Dragon 2 is?
What?
Marion's in it, and then the boss from the first game comes up, shoots her. Dead.
Shit.
It just kills her. And then you've got to go and seek bloody retribution.
That's fucking bonkers.
Now, so,
but that's it, basically.
That is the plot.
I just remember you walk down the street, you pick up a pipe and you hit someone.
Yeah, yeah, you go left to right and you kill everything that
it's
comes
just
in your path.
Side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Yeah, and this was like one of the first side-scrolling beat-em-ups to really perfect that kind of monotonous side-scrolling punchy-punchy action that we all know and love. Now, that is the plot of the game. What did you guys think of the trailer? You're picking up what the trailer's putting down?
Right.
Sorry, Noel, you go first, mate. You're the guest.
I thought it was amazing. I think it looks like it could have absolutely everything we want in a film.
It's insanity.
And nothing at the same time, though.
Yeah, my one big takeaway was fucking Robert Patrick from Terminator 2 is the villain.
Yeah, I like that the trailer says, like, T2's Robert Patrick.
He's the T-1000, for anybody listening at home doesn't know the name.
I like they had to, like, really point out who this guy is and what he's famous for, because this film came out in 1994, and I think that Terminator 2 came out in 1990, so I assume that Robert Patrick had been doing nothing for 4 years, and they had to remind everybody who he was.
Oh, dear. He doesn't look well, either.
No. I mean, the other thing that's, I think, pretty, like... This film is, like, set in 2007, I think, and and is post-apocalyptic.
Oh, dear.
Apparently the cops run the streets by day, but punks run the streets by night.
Did you notice how young they looked in the trailer as well, though?
Yes, but I also...
About 12 years old.
I liked when they said, punks run the street by night, and they all had mohawks, that they literally were all, like, dictionary... You know, if you look
London
up punk...
punks.
Yeah, you know, oi, oi! But the tone of it is insane. Did
There's
anyone
something
else
about
pick
like
up
a
on...
broken medallion or something, right?
That Robert Patrick wants.
Yeah, they need both halves of the medallion, and the two brothers have a half each or some bullshit.
I couldn't really get all that from the trailer, I'm going to be honest. It seemed a bit like there was... We saw most of the film, I'm pretty sure, in that
Oh,
trailer.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing that...
But the thing I didn't get really... much of the plot.
They kind of go like... He's a madman who wants the other half of this medallion, but guess who's got it? And they just cut to, like, one of, like, the heroes who's playing Billy or Jimmy Lee, and you're just kind of like, I don't know who he is. He's like, look who's got it! It's some guy! And it's that point where the tone of, like, the trailer gets really wonky, because the beginning is like, it's 2007 and everything's death and decay and blah. And then suddenly goes a little bit wacky, where there's a bit where, like, they're tripping over bad guys on bubble gum and things like that.
Yeah. There's lots of like stupid slapstick humour sort of thrown in.
Yeah, and then you get a character who like shows up, who's obviously one of these punks, who goes, "It's time we skin you guys," and you're like, "Whoa!"
tear your soul apart.
Yes, exactly. You're gonna like, is it kind of like, are we gonna have like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze style slapstick fighting with like skin-eating cannibals or something? And Alyssa Milano, she's in it.
Yeah, so Alyssa Milano is a name that I recognise. I do not recognise her face, and I do not know why I know her name.
I think she was in Melrose Place, and then was in the show Charmed.
Yes, I think that's right.
Right. She's in Charmed. And I think she's playing Marion, so it looks like she maybe is playing a little bit more of a Marion that has a bit more agency. She
doesn't. Okay.
I don't think she gets punched in the stomach in the first 2 minutes of the film and gets
shot.
Dragged off. Yeah.
Well, good for her. I fucking hope so.
Yeah, but
okay.
I honestly couldn't guess what the plot is actually going to be, though.
I think it's going to be about punching mainly. Going to be about punching.
I want a lot of punching. So we should go and watch this film. Maybe get some booze on the way there. I mean, it's a lovely day. But before we do that, can we play the IMDb guessing game? What do you guys feel that Double Dragon from 1994? Gets on IMDb? Noel, you're the guest. I will take your first guess.
It's a big question, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm really...
Judging only from what you saw in that trailer.
I'm going to say... Actually, do you know what? I reckon it could be really, really low. But I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say, I don't know, 5.6.
There's a bold guess from Noel there. Todd?
That feels very ambitious to me based on this trailer. I'm going to go... 4 on the nose, 4.0.
Well, guys, we're in for a fun evening.
Wait a second, that's the podcast police coming.
Oh, God.
Okay, the podcast police have moved on. Okay. Tom, you can now reveal, put people out of their misery.
Well, prepare for misery. It's 3.6.
That's a stinker. Okay.
I'm still excited.
Are you ready for this movie to punch you in
the
face,
Noel? How bad could it be, though, right?
Yeah, I mean...
I think it might punch me in the face.
I hope so, but will we punch back? We'll find out after this.
Punchy, punchy. Punchy, punchy was right. it was a pretty punchy film.
It was pretty much nothing but punchy, I feel. Noel, how are you feeling?
I'm conflicted, I'm going to be honest.
Okay, let's explore that.
It wasn't a good film, let's be honest now, was it?
I mean, I was not going under that with any aspirations of it being a good film.
I had a nice time. Like, I had a lot of fun. It was very goofy.
It was very goofy.
It was surprisingly... It had a real, like, mid-80s vibe for a film that was actually mid-90s.
Oh, I don't think that's right at all, actually. I think it was basically the most 90s film I've ever watched.
It was very 90s. Like, there is a bit where, like, a shopping mall gets invaded by kids on skateboards and rollerblades, and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on?
Oh, God, yeah, and everyone was wearing tie-dye denim and, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just think more... It was a bit more like a fucking Toxic Avenger film or something.
But, I mean, there were bits of that. Yeah, there were bits of that. Yeah, it was like a dark post-apocalyptic Karate Kid.
Yeah,
kinda, sorta. So, like, maybe we should try and break down what actually happens in this film.
I think we should do. Before we do, I just want to address for the listeners at home that we are currently patrolling the urban, gritty city streets of Brighton at night. It's about midnight. It's on Monday night.
There may be some noises.
We've just left Milo's house. Big shout out to Milo, the video game king of Brighton. We've had a lovely time watching
who's hosted on the video game
hosted
night.
Hosted on night. We watched a Blu-ray copy of Double Dragon.
Which still had, like, fucking, like, screen, like, pixelation or, like, something.
So we are walking these mean streets. We're going to meander our way home.
We'll have to take some, like, quiet streets so that we don't get, like, jumped, hopefully, by a bunch of, like, nuclear punk thugs.
But, yeah, if you hear any weird noises, guys, that's because what you're hearing there is the raw, throbbing, open wound that is the south coast of England.
Yeah. So, like, what happens? Like, does the film begin in... It begins somewhere in China.
Yeah.
Very specifically somewhere in China, yeah, not just China,
I mean,
though.
You could probably find it. You just walk around a bit. It's just somewhere there.
And there's something about, like, an emperor or somebody. I wasn't paying much attention 1 minute into the film. But basically, there's, like, a medallion that has been created by some emperor, and the medallion unites the power of
the body and soul.
And yeah, with that you can kick the shit out of anyone, basically.
It's split in two. It's been split in two. It's this, like, it is the Double Dragon medallion.
Yes.
Got these two dragons on it, split in two. One half gives you the power over the body, one half gives you the power over the soul.
So the body part means you're tough as nails.
Yeah.
And the soul part gives you, like, magic, and you can basically possess other people and inhabit their body. Or turn into a weird CGI 90s graphics ghost.
Noel, what were your thoughts of this opening stage of the movie?
At the opening stage, I think we all were in kind of agreement that we really thought we were seeing some sort of, like, past flashback at the beginning.
Yeah.
It really felt like we were maybe watching something in the 1800s, then someone got their phone out.
Yes!
But exactly. It was a 90s phone as well, so it was still like, it was like, oh, this could be...
Or it was like the biggest, clunkiest laptop you've ever seen, or something like that. And basically, it's a load of baddies go and beat up this somewhere in China village on behalf of the T-1000.
Oh, Robert Patrick from Terminator 2, liquid metal Terminator.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. So he's basically looks in this like if Vanilla Ice was an evil wizard.
Brilliant.
He's got Vanilla Ice. He's got Vanilla Ice hair,
little
sunglasses. Yeah, little
goatee,
sunglasses, and he's smoking cigarettes the whole time.
He didn't always have the sunglasses. He actually made a point of saying, "Oh, wait till I've got my sunglasses on."
Yeah.
Oh dear. And he, okay, so the big thing is he's living in New Los Angeles or
oh,
New
yeah.
Angeles. So basically the year is 2007. The big quake, as they say, a big earthquake has destroyed Los Angeles.
It's only like 6 years before or something like that as well. They've managed to build a whole new city in this very short amount of time.
And now everything is super dark post-apocalyptic wasteland. Like, all the water is radioactive. By day, everything is safe and the police run the streets. By night, it's like creepy 90s punk-looking punk gangs.
But that is like the click of a finger as well.
Yeah, it happens at the stroke of midnight.
Yeah, as
like
soon as
Cinderella turning into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Guys, can I just draw your attention to the fact... Hang on, I'm going to just check the time. Okay. Oh, no, we got 25 minutes until it's midnight here in Brighton. Okay. We're probably okay.
Okay.
We're probably all right. It's not curfew yet. But what is the mid-90s obsession with street gangs that look like they're from Gene adverts?
Yeah, like, they're very, like, it's like a very Disney version of a street gang.
Yeah.
There is a gang in it called the Clowns. So you've got a street gang that all look like mimes, but they have big Mickey Mouse style gloves on. Like, so they've got all giant hands.
Well, and the tips of their fingers are giant as well.
The tips of their fingers are ping pong balls. That is not tough. I don't care who you are. That does not look tough. So we need to work out which way we're going here, boys. We need to take a safe street.
oh my god, we're right by the courthouse over there as well. We need to check there's no gang members milling around this way. Probably
we'll go this way. So we get introduced to our heroes, Jimmy and Billy Lee, the brothers from the two
most tedious guys.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's harsh.
They are tedious.
One of them was cool.
One of them was in Blossom.
Yeah.
I believe he played one of Blossom's boyfriends.
And what was the other one in? One of them has recently been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I think the Crow TV series. these two guys do not look related. Like, one of them is, like, TV handsome white guy. The other guy is TV handsome Hawaiian guy.
Yeah.
And it's
like, don't get me wrong, they're both good looking.
They are both good looking chaps. And then they hang around with their aunt, who is this late 30s. I think, well, I guess she's meant to be Chinese.
Yeah, because she's carrying the legend with her.
Yeah, from China. So she's like in her late 30s, and they've put two streaks of grey hair on her and be like, she's way older than she's meant to be. And they have, like, a sibling rivalry, and we meet them at some, like, kung fu tournament, which introduces them to the characters that they clearly do not have in the film. They then have a car chase, because obviously it's a Double Dragon film, a side-scrolling beat-em-up. So obviously the first action scene that we really want to have is a car chase.
Obviously, it makes total sense. And this is purely because they get caught...
After curfew.
Out after curfew, and the gang come after them.
I think it's because Billy Lee, he's a hothead, and they're at this fighting tournament, and he wants to fight too much. And Jimmy's like, you need to think things through. And this is, like, the crux of their relationship the whole way through, but no one really cares. They have a car chase with this character called Bo a Bobo.
The car chase itself, though, it's basically full of ridiculous CGI, digital. Like, I don't really know what was going on with it.
Really early CGI, but like, so it's like 2D.
Is it supposed to be sort of like one of their weapons or something? Like,
yeah, it's like if you imagine on like a radar screen or something, it's like flat outlines of stuff.
I mean, what this film really pioneers is like GPS technology. There's loads of stuff in this film of people using sat-nav in their cars. which for 1994 is quite ahead of its time.
It's like a recurrent plot point.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're being chased by this big beefy punk called Bo a Bobo.
Oh, guys, if you're listening to the podcast right now, I don't care where you are, do yourself a favour, say the words Bo a Bobo out loud. You'll have a little smile on your face. You'll thank me later. Sorry, Tom. Carry on.
Because they say it a lot in this film. And he's like a henchman. He doesn't catch Billy and Jimmy, but he knows that the T-1000 wants him caught. And so then he goes to the T-1000 and says, I'm sorry I couldn't catch them. And the T-1000 says, well, I'm a big baddie. I'm now going to mutate you.
But before he does, he says, let me put my sunglasses on first.
Yeah, he basically does. And then we also get this conversation between Billy and Jimmy and their aunt talking about the, whatever it is, the Double Dragon medallion. So was it, like, the medallion is like two parts. It's like a interlinking dragon medallion.
Oh my god, it looks so shit though. This, like, how hard is it to make a gold medallion look like it's a real existing thing? And they basically CGI'd the medallion in every shot, I think, just to make it look more shiny.
Yeah,
but it's supposed to be really old. It doesn't need to look that shiny.
Yeah, and she basically says it's as important. Don't let the T-1000 get it. And then
he already has some of it, though, doesn't he?
Oh, he has,
from the start.
He's got the soul half.
Yeah. So he basically spends his time turning into like a spooky paper ghost.
Yeah, that was rubbish.
Yeah, like, I mean, the CGI in this is quite it's quite poor, considering that Terminator 2 came out 4 years previous to this, I think.
Well, yeah, Robert Patrick has previous form with, like, turning into melty, insidious, amorphous blobs.
I'm going to be honest, I don't think it was really, you know, him turning into it, though.
Are you sure?
He didn't think he brought his own in-house team. Noel, do you want to talk the listeners through, like, what he actually looks like when he souls out using the medallion? Well,
he basically grasps this medallion. Loads of light comes out, which it doesn't look like light. It just doesn't. it looks like, well, a crap CGI effect. I haven't got a good example for it.
One with a pen, basically.
Yeah. And then for some reason he turns into a piece of paper, which flaps down, and then suddenly he's a shadow.
A grayscale piece of paper as well. Mm. He goes all grayscale.
It's almost... that was a fast car. It's almost like something from Who Framed Roger Rabbit or something. Like this kind of 2D in 3D effect. First time it happened, I didn't hate it.
It happened a lot, though.
It looks better in some points than... Like, there's some points where it's like, that's pretty cool, and there's other points when it lingers on screen a bit too much, and you're like, ooh, that's a bit duff. Yeah, and he turns into, like, a shadow ghost and inhabits people. Basically, what happens is after the adopted aunt explains to Jimmy and Billy what the medallion does, the T-1000 shows up with his minions.
Hang on, let's step out of these guys' way. Hang on. Oh, Tom, we're connected by what cables? Hang on. Thank you. Sorry, that was very polite of us. Yeah. Carry on, Tom.
So the T-1000 shows up with his minions, who is... There's Lash, who is a sassy young lady with a whip.
And she's actually in the game,
She is in the game. She's basically the dominatrix character with a whip. And a now mutated Boa Bobo, who is also a character in the game. He's like the big tough guy, but now he just looks like a massive pulsating silicon boil. It is gross and weird, and I do not care for it.
I think it's worth looking up online, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think it is worth a look, because it's he's like the grossest balloon you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's real shades of like that movie Spawn.
Yeah, definitely.
Just kind of like, how gross can we make this prosthetic look?
If only they had a lot of John Leguizamo in there.
But let you say it's gross, at the same time it doesn't for a second look real.
No, it definitely doesn't. He looks like he's turned me into a beach ball.
Which way? We've got a bit of a crossroads here, guys. Which way are we
going
to walk?
Let's just carry on going.
Yeah, okay. This is a tough crossing. I don't want anyone getting hurt in the name of podcasting, so let's make sure we do this properly.
Okay.
I think we're clear. Are we clear?
Let's go.
Run for it, lads.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right, so at this juncture, I would just like us all to just say one more time, on the count of three... So we'll do 1, 2, 3, and then we're all going to say bo a bobo.
Okay.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Bo a bobo. Nice.
Oh, that felt good.
That felt good.
Sorry, Tom. Now carry on.
So then basically the T-1000 shows up and kills Billy and Jimmy's aunt by blowing up the abandoned opera house that they live in for some reason.
But wasn't she trying to... She tried to do a really big self-sacrifice thing, but then actually just didn't really do anything apart from kill
her. Yeah, she turned into a ghost or something, right? She ghosted herself?
Maybe. I mean, it's...
Like, the impression I got from it was she, like, they were all trying to escape. She threw them out and locked herself in to sort of do this big self-sacrifice. You know, do you know what? Like, I'm going to save the day now. And then he turned himself into a ghost just as everything was about to explode. And so he was fine and, you know, no, she
it backfired on her,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, she didn't have a really great time out of that.
Yeah, that didn't work out. And then, so basically, now she's dead. Old Billy and Jimmy, they're on the run.
But they're mad as hell.
They're not going to take it anymore.
They're mad as hell. which is shown by them having, like, maybe like a 90-second fight where they go like, I hate you, man. Ah, it's cool.
You're cool, bruh.
It's cool. We've only got each other. I love you. All right, let's run because there's a bunch of creepy cyber gangs chasing after us. And then you basically get like the T-1000 unites all of the gangs.
Ooh. Is this the bit where my favourite thing happens?
Yes,
is this the bit where it's Todd's special moment to shine?
Yes, go Todd.
Oh, guys, so I've got to be honest with you. I don't, as was evident in the intro of this, no idea about video games. It's not really my jam, I'm afraid. I hadn't played the game before, didn't know anything about it. What I have done is I've watched a ton of horror films.
Yep.
And there was a guy who you might recognise if you've ever seen, I'm just going to pick one out of a hat and I'm going to say The Hills Have Eyes, the Wes Craven classic. Michael Berryman, that awesome character actor with the crazy lumpy head and the bug eyes and just the really awesome voice. He's so brutal. He brings everything to every scene. He shows up in this as like a kind of a ringmaster.
I think he's kind of like a leader of the gang, or like a kind of, yeah, like a, yeah, conduit for the gangs.
He's the leader of one of the gangs in particular, but I noticed that in the credits, but I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
So yeah. Strong. And Robert Patrick shows up and just kind of papers himself inside him.
Yeah, he chokes him to death.
He effectively does a bit of a Darth Vader thing, you know, doesn't he? Mm,
yeah, a bit.
Ooh, it was a real highlight. Just seeing Michael Berryman pop up was enough for me.
Yeah, no.
He got a couple of lines as well and everything.
Yeah, and he sounded great.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. But now, basically, the T-1000 has assumed control of all the gangs in new neon Los Angeles and sends them after our heroes, Billy and Jimmy. They have a bit of a run. They have some very goofy fights.
Including some, balls that come out of a machine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, God, it went so slapstick.
Well, this is the thing. The guy who plays Jimmy, the guy who's in, like, who's been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that, that guy, he has obviously been hired because he can do martial arts and he's pretty adept at doing like backflips and kicks and stuff like that. The other guy is just like the TV handsome white guy,
yeah,
who just kind
was
of
from Blossom,
yeah, from Blossom, who just, you know, kind of like goes, check please, and then like slaps someone around the face with a fish. So you've got like slapstick guy, an actual legit like martial arts guy. So slapstick guy like beats up a load of bad guys with like bubble gum out of a bubble gum machine, where his brother's like doing backflips and smacking people in the face with a stick.
Noel, didn't you say that backflip guy is like mates with I'm going to get the name wrong. Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones?
Khal Drogo. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yeah.
They're like best buds in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Jason Momoa and whatever the guy's name is. I cannot remember.
The real Double Dragon.
They're both from Hawaii. I'm pretty sure they're actually really good mates because they ended up both appearing on Stargate Atlantis.
Nice.
Deep cut from Noel.
It's then around this point that we get introduced to Alyssa Milano's character, who she is playing the character of like the girl from the video game that gets punched in the stomach.
Marion.
In this, she's got a lot more agency and she is in charge of the power core.
Have we discussed her role in the game?
so far.
No, we did talk about it at the in the intro. Right.
So yes, she is the girl that gets punched in the stomach and dragged away then shot.
Yes, in this she's actually she's the daughter of the head of police, and she's the head of Power Corps, which is a gang trying to reclaim the streets. She's really right on, like she's actually a decent character in this. And basically Billy and Jimmy kind of like team up with her to take down the T-1000. So that's kind of what they do. They kind of like break into his big giant sort of post-apocalypse mansion in the middle of LA. No one really knows how that at this point, like the Double Dragons don't know how to activate the Double Dragon amulet.
Yeah, they keep like rubbing it and like
rubbing it on the groin and giving it a kiss and smacking it around the face, and
doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything. And then I think it basically
they even tried co rubbing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do want to talk about Marion a little bit more, played by Melissa Milano.
Yeah,
she's pretty badass.
Yeah, she's good. She's got that kind of like cool hacker's hair.
Yeah, like it's like a crew cut dyed blonde.
Yeah, yeah, like Angelina Jolie in Hackers. She's wearing insane clothing that makes no sense. Very 90s.
Do you know what? The one thing I had sort of have to say about her character is it sort of felt like for a long period they were trying really hard to take her away from the source material, which frankly doesn't do her much justice, that character.
No one's kind
of... As we've said.
That is agreeable.
However, you then get three or four really, really obvious leering shots by the main characters,
especially if you think about the fact this is a kids'
like,
film.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys, you can leave her alone.
They really gawk at her ass like several points in this film,
and they've dressed her in this really weird pair of cut-off shorts where the pockets haven't been cut off, but the rest of the shorts have. So her pockets hang lower than her actual.
I think they almost turned into like stockings and suspenders, but like weird, like sort of like steampunk denim stockings and suspenders, wasn't they?
That was the '90s.
It really was.
A dark time for everybody.
It was a dark time. So then they kind of go and fight the T-1000, I guess. There's quite a lot of fight scenes in this. It's a bit hard to kind of like track major plot points because there aren't really any.
No. Very little happens in this film. I'm glad you guys know what happened, because I sure don't, and I just watched it. Yeah.
To be honest, I'm mostly following Tom. Eh? He seems to be the one who's caught up with everything.
Like the Power Corps, like their gang seems to be... they have a hideout, which is a cross between a 90s Nickelodeon TV studio with slime and just like the set of like where the Lost Boys live in Hook. I think that's a fair description, right? And I think
through that.
And if you haven't seen this film, you will get it from that. You're dead on. That is what it looks like.
I think I just walked into a spider web.
Oh,
it's like
wow.
All over my face. It's so
Oh man.
You know that feeling.
So basically what happens is I think Billy unlocks the power of his side of the Double Dragon. And then,
do you know how he does it? He just throws it.
Yeah.
He throws it away. He's like, no.
Oh, yeah. It just didn't really make sense. It just came back.
And then the CGI medallion freezes in midair, comes back to him, and they're like, that was it. You had to throw it away, bro.
Yeah. And then he has to fight his bro, because Jimmy has been captured by the T-1000, who is now inhabiting his body using the power of the soul with his part of the medallion.
And Tom, you're explaining to us that this had something to do with the game, right?
Oh, yeah. So basically, if you play the original Double Dragon on two player and you get to the end boss and you beat the end boss, before you don't just win the game, like, oh, you saved Marion. Basically, the two brothers then have to fight each other to the death to win a woman, because the 80s. So I'm pretty sure that this is a bit of a riff on that there's always been this thing in Double Dragon games of like having to fight your brother. Oh, lots of traffic around here.
Whoa, why are there so many cars here? This is supposed to be a quiet street.
But yeah, so basically then we have the brothers fight each other. And then like G- Jimmy gets unpossessed by the T-1000, and then the T-1000 gets both pieces of the medallion, and then turns into two, like, black demon ninjas with swords, because, yeah, okay, fine.
He turns into Goth Yoda, basically, but twice.
Yeah.
But what moves on there, though, they have a little bit of a fight, but really these two sort of goth ninja guys are really not that hard to defeat.
They're like, no, they're not.
They're kind of like done within about a minute.
Yeah, compared to like the T-1000 before he had both parts of the medallion, they're no better.
Look out for that guy.
Uh-oh, there's a big bus
great
coming.
Big bus coming on this really
look
narrow
out, everybody! Whoa!
Ah! Sorry, guys, we're alive.
And, yeah, so that was a bit of a... They looked really cool, the ninjas. That was pretty cool. But then, yeah, it's a little bit duff, the fight. And then the brothers get the double dragon, and they put the two halves of the medallion together, and then basically it just gives them matching shiny outfits.
Some pretty cool clothes, to be
pretty
fair.
Pretty cool clothes.
And they do make a point of highlighting that as well. But they look pretty great.
And then basically they win.
Yeah, and then the movie's basically over. There's a weird gag with Boa Bobo.
Yeah, who still looks like a giant boil. And he shows up, he's like, I'm a good guy now, can I hang out with you? And I think that Jimmy and Alyssa Milano think that he's been taken over by the brother.
Yeah, that he's
by
possessed.
Billy, using the power of the soul.
As a practical joke.
As a practical joke. And he's like, can I drive the car? And they're like, yeah, of course you can drive the car, bo bo bo. And they get in the car and go, this'll be good for a laugh. And then Billy pops up behind them in the car and goes, hey, what are we all laughing about? And then they all go, ah, in like Home Alone style. Freeze frame, credits.
And the Bo 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 drives them off to the music of All Together Now by The Farm.
Which goes on for ages.
All Together Now.
That song must be...
All Together Now.
That song must be like 7 minutes long.
All Together Now.
And so, and then that's...
Double Dragon.
So that was the Double Dragon film. So, I mean, what did you guys think? Because you guys weren't really familiar with the franchise of games.
I get the impression you didn't really need to be.
No.
Really?
No.
It's not a deep lore with Double Dragon.
I have no dislike for the games. Mm. I just was completely unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was a competent folly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was made by people that knew that they were making something bad. Which is better than a bad movie made by people who think they're making something good.
Yeah,
That's a really big difference, I think.
Yeah,
they
I
knew
agree.
They were making absolute garbage, and they were just after a quick buck.
Yeah,
but they knew how to make a movie, and it was a movie. Like it was, you know, it was what it was. All of the things about it that were bad were never going to be better than that, just because of the nature of what it was.
Yeah. The thing that I liked most about it is actually all the landscapes in it.
Oh, the post-apocalypse. Oh, yeah. Did we even mention the apocalypse?
We did. We touched on that. That basically, like, everything's been destroyed. But the long landscape shots of the destroyed Los Angeles look great. And they're the best bit in the film.
I kept missing them. You kept pointing them out just too late. I was really annoyed. 100, like, why not?
It was just all these cool, like, watery shots of, like, the Hollywood Hills, but with the water risen all the way up to, like, right up to the point of the Hollywood sign. You know, like, the water's risen that high and...
Burnt out buildings. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the thing is, like, I think if you wanted to make the movie of a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up, you don't do what you did in Double Dragon. My idea is, if you want to make it good, you would make it like a cross between like the Warriors and the Raid. Like you make it this kind of like, make it all about the gangs. You make it dark, and you're like there's some sort of like tent city, and you need to just like fight your way to the end of something. But you just kind of like, you go all out on like that video game element of like you need to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And that is all the film is.
Yeah.
And then you tie in all the story basically happens within a fight.
You know what I mean? Just, like, it's just like punch your way through a sea of baddies.
Like the Carl Urban Judge Dredd film. You make it that. You make it that, but with fist fights and gangs.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty limited on the story front, but like.
But then there's no story in Double Dragon.
No, there was no story in this film either. There's no story in this film either, really. I mean, but the thing that was bad about it wasn't lack of story, really. I actually think, yeah, the failings of this film were more to do with their attempts to, like, put some actual story in where it just wasn't needed.
Yeah, it's very confused.
I don't know. I thought where it didn't really work was where it tried to do too many things at once.
Yeah.
Like, genre-wise, and it was trying to be funny. It was trying to be, you know, trying to have this mystical backstory,
but it also wanted to be a technological sci-fi.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's quite telling that like this came out like a year after Mario Brothers, which is another video game film that doesn't understand what to do with the material it's been given. And I think it's like video games, like in their infancy, it was like the old west. You just made shit up as you go along and everyone was just like, well, we'll grab a buck here. People didn't nurture their properties in the way that in the way that they do now, and at the same time they were giving them to Hollywood companies who are like, well, we can make some money out of this, but they're giving it to people who don't. If you ask someone to make a Double Dragon film now, you would probably find someone that had a lot of love for the property and would probably take a lot more care of it. Whereas back then, someone's like, it's this video game thing, my kids like it, I don't understand it. Tell me what the characters are called, I'll make something up.
I wonder if part of that is to do with the age of the audience, right? Because if you make a video game movie now, chances are that the people that liked it, they were like tiny kids when it first came out. Now they're grown-ups with like money to spend of their own, and like they're really invested in it. Mm. And they're going on message boards and they're saying, you better not fuck this movie up because it will ruin all my childhood memories, man.
Mm.
Whereas in those days, if you make a video game film, like those are your childhood memories at the time. You are a child then.
Yeah, like I remember like seeing Mario Brothers at the cinema when I was like, whatever, like 10, 11 years old. And I didn't care like how fucking weird it was.
Yeah.
Like I was just kind of like, okay, cool, stuff on the screen, that's fun.
Yeah, exactly. So like, and you, it's not as if you've got a load of video game properties to choose from, like the movies back then either.
I mean, if I saw Double Dragon at the age I was when I was playing Double Dragon, I probably would have really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, what do kids want, really? You know,
well,
you know what they want? They want Boa Bobo.
Boa Bobo sells, man.
I want Boa Bobo in the T-1000 dressed as Vanilla Ice. And don't tell me I want something other.
Well, guys, I think that's it. I think we've kind of covered the picture.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom, you definitely, I think it's safe to say, went in with the highest hopes out of anybody.
Yeah.
Were they, like, overall, like, final word, thumbs up, thumbs down?
For me, it's, like, a morbid curiosity thing. I think whenever I find, like, that there is, like, a spin-off bit of media from something that I remember as a child, I'm always kind of interested to see what it's like. So I think if you grew up watching it, then I would say, like, give it a look. It's not great, but it might just satisfy some curiosity.
Noel,
it's definitely not good.
What's the Noel take?
I'd say, yeah, I didn't go into it with any expectations whatsoever. The IMDb score wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think I ever thought it would be fun. No, actually, no, that's wrong. I don't think I ever thought it'd be good. I thought it might have some laughs, and it did. It was a giggle.
A giggle is the best you're going to get.
Yeah. And I think it was interesting to look at something, like we said at the beginning, that is like the other way around on franchise that we've been looking at. This is like the film that has spawned off of some other big piece of media. And obviously, this is like the second video game adaptation ever made, and they still haven't gotten one right. Like, you know, there has still not been like a video game adaptation that has been like critically praised or has done really well at the box office.
I'm just waiting for that big Flappy Bird movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, like 20-something years after they've been like trying to like make these kind of films, surely one has to, but I couldn't tell you which one it's going to be.
Certainly wasn't Pixels.
And now we're here.
We're right back where we started.
All the way around to the pub that we started at when we started the episode. So it seems like a pretty good place to sign off.
Yeah. Noel, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast, Matt. Right.
Cheers for having me.
It's been a pleasure. We'll have to do another one of these soon, another Bitter End walking tour.
It's been a lot of fun, I think, actually.
Yeah, we didn't cause any car accidents while walking around. We didn't get into any fights, so it's all good.
The night is still young, boys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. Like we said before, this is just a bonus episode, so in a few weeks, keep your eye on the feed. We'll be back with season 4, all about Universal Soldier. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on Twitter at Bitter End Pod or Facebook at Bitter End Pod. That freakhouse noise is a train going past because we're standing over the train tracks right now. Sounds pretty cool, right?
Yeah, gnarly.
We've been joined by Noel. Noel, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
My name's Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
Until then, we're taking this crazy train out of here.
There's a bus! Ah!